Good morning. Before we get started, sir, I just want to make sure, now, what is your name, sir?
It's Bill Batista, 600-06-0090.
Okay, well, at this time, the Honorable Mr. David Neal will be chairing your hearing, so just hang on, and he will chair your hearing at this time, sir. So we'll get started.
Thank you.
Okay, good morning, sir. Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in regard to a bill here. Let me introduce the board members who are going to conduct the hearing this morning. They're the Honorable Lee Canonis, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Geithner, the Board Chairman, the Honorable Dale Rittenhouse, and the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal. I'll be your attending chair today. All right, I'm going to read some information about your location and why you're incarcerated, and as we go over it, we'll make sure that it all is correct, and then we'll give you an opportunity to talk to us about your reasons for parole and how you've changed since you've been incarcerated and those sort of things. Okay, sir?
Yes.
All right, so you're currently 56 years old, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, you're serving a life sentence for armed robbery, which was committed while you were on release. You also had two counts of aggravated assault that ran concurrent, but they've already expired. Seems that on July 9, 2014, you received a letter of parole for this sentence, and a condition modification was granted on July 16, 2015. Then on June 24, 2016, you were arrested by the Ok-Chin Police Department, and you were arrested for possession of dangerous drugs. Well, is that true, sir, or correct?
Yes.
Okay, you pled guilty on March 13, 2017, and your sentence was 2 years to be consecutive to the original life sentence. Your written parole was revoked by the board on October 30th, 2017. Okay, this hearing is for a 412D parole to a next consecutive sentence. I couldn't find the actual certification date for this hearing in my paperwork, but I don't have paperwork saying it here, so I guess it was certified.
Yes, I did receive that from the parole board for
Right. So there's in part of our paperwork, there's a certification date, which is, so every time you become eligible for a parole hearing, they do a certification, make sure that the dates are right and all that stuff. It's not a huge issue or anything. In fact, because we have paperwork from DOC about hearing, they get certified. They just get the paperwork, or the one date in the paperwork. Okay, and so what this would mean is if you were granted parole to make consecutive sentence, you would have 2 years remaining before the release from the Department of Corrections. So it shows no discipline since 2003 and moderate programming. So I have no support letters, and of course I have no opposition letters. And I lost my train of thought, so sorry about that. So anyway, I think we had five counts, and then we plead agreement ended up with three sentences, all with one concurrent. And let's see, yeah, back in September 1984, about 6 at night, the Costanza Police Department responded to a theft complaint at 505 West 2nd Street in Casa Grande. The victim said that you had entered her living room asking for ayahuasca, and the victim stated that she was personally familiar with you. And you were off carrying a quart bottle of beer and refused to leave the residence. And she went out and she came back in, and the purse was open, laying on the table, missing about $13. As your noise comes from the back of the house, she found you there looking through her rear back bedroom closet. She asked for money back. So did she even pull the rug out and then hit her? She attempted to call the police. This was assault and apparently I was intoxicated. You encountered several different people, has an assault. Decided to enter in his residence and everything. So anyway, and then the second time, the second conviction was, this Ak-Chin police caught you driving in a poor manner. They pulled you over, they found some drug paraphernalia, and you subsequently were arrested, and the first one you were convicted by a jury, and then you took a plea on the second. So anyway, sir, now is really your opportunity. First, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about what was going on when that original offense occurred that you were originally incarcerated for. And
you're talking about the one where I got the 25 to life, sir?
Yes, sir. That one, you know, a little bit about what was going on in your life and everything, and then
that's when I was in my 20s, right? When I the charges, when I first got sentenced, and I went to court, went to trial, but in the 1980s? That the one you're talking about?
Yeah, I believe it was 86, 84.
Yeah, that's like 30 years ago when I was really young, and I was just drinking a lot, and I was really, I drank a little whiskey all the time, and I was having these blackouts, and I pretty much destroyed my liver. Now my liver's pretty much, the kidneys have dead, but at the time I was drinking, I was blacking out a lot, and I was just, I drank, and running around taking money from people, I guess, to drink, you know.
Okay.
That's what was going on back in the 80s when I was a young man, I guess, like 20s. I'm in 60 now, so it's hard for me, you know. I'm in my golden years now, so my memory isn't too sharp. I knew I did drink a lot back then, and I knew I did have a lot of blackouts.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors in the DOC told me that I destroyed my liver, and they were surprised I was still alive. I should have cirrhosis by now, and they did it. And I understand that part, you know, but I knew I was drinking a lot back then, and it's hard for me to remember that far back, because, man, that's like a whole lifetime ago.
Yeah.
And I know I was drinking a lot, and I know I should black out a lot, and I know that I didn't go to trial, and I know I got 25 to life. For the first one, I remember, I have to look at the court records to really refresh my memory, but I know the one we're talking about was, I think I did get probation for that, because that was my first time ever being arrested. And then the second one was I think it was the armed robbery where I got 25 to life for.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me 25 to life. I think I stole a couple of dollars from somebody in Phoenix when I was drunk. Both of those instances, I was just really drunk and I barely remember it.
Right.
And nowadays, I can barely recall. I try to think about it, and it starts hurting my head when I try to think too far back, because I can't remember that. I can't remember my childhood anymore.
Okay.
I can't remember all the years I've been in prison, I guess, because I'm in my golden years right now. I got diabetes now, and I got severe arthritis, and I have a cone in my eye, and I can barely walk. My feet swell up all the time. But I was really drinking a lot back then, and I had that problem when I was a young man in my 20s.
Okay.
And then I spent my 20s, end of my 20s in here, my 30s in here, my 40s in here, and perhaps in my 50s in here in prison. So I don't even think about drinking anymore. And I pulled up the parole board the first time I went to, when they gave me the parole. And I did, they told me to take all these alcohol and drug courses, and I did. And I like them. I was taking AA, I took AA in here. And it's hard for me, like I said, I'm an old man now, and got white hair and everything. I can't remember that far back, how specifically exactly what happened, other than I know I was a Russian. I know I drank a lot. And I used to drink a lot and black out. I remember blacked out a lot.
Okay. Well, it seems like that, you know, in 2014, you came in front of the board and spoke with them, and they were convinced that you had done well enough in prison to be granted a parole. Mm-hmm. And apparently there were some pretty, you know, some pretty tight restrictions. So about a year later, they lifted or they modified the restrictions so it would be a little easier for you.
They said, as long as you perform all these criteria that were specified in your parole agreement, you know, I had the thing on my ankle. I had that on for almost a year, and I did all the drug classes, and I took other classes, and I did all the other assignments they gave me. The last assignment I was to do was either go to school or work, so I decided to try and work. And I asked them about the thing on my ankle, and they said, I told them because if I work, I could get a nighttime job or a morning job, and I had to stay where I was residing at from 7 at night to 7 in the morning. And I said, if I have to leave early to go get to work, I'm not. So they allowed me, since I had done everything prior to that, that was on my parole agreement. That was the last step, and I did get a job, but my body was too old because I didn't know I had severe arthritis. And while I was working, my left shoulder, all the tendons tore, and the skin, my ball right there on your shoulder, it fell off and it's hanging down, and it was just too much stress on my arm, and my bicep dislocated, so all that is just, it's still like that. And I have severe arthritis in my joint, and I started going to the Hohokam Memorial Hospital in the Eagle River Indian Reservation, which I'm a member. And I did all this, and they took me to a bone specialist and a river doctor. And then finally sent me to a surgeon in Gilbert, and I was getting ready to have surgery repair my tendons that had torn and put the skin back on my bar. And they told me I had severe arthritis in my left arm, so that's pretty much useless. It's pretty much useless now. I can't even, it's always sore and stiff, and I try to hold stuff, but I can't. I have no grip in my hand. And, you know, but that's what happened there. I did everything on our plea agreement that the parole board had done, because they were concerned that I started drinking. And I haven't drunk, I still don't drink. I go to AA, and you know, that was part of the agreement that I had given the parole board.
Okay, well, now, so you're out, you're doing pretty good, they took you off the ankle bracelet, but then about a year after they did that, the Oxygen Police apparently observed you leaving a location that was under surveillance, and when you got stopped, and they talked to you for a little bit, and they found a concern about amount of methamphetamine in the vehicle with you. And that's what ended up in your last plea agreement. And so, about a year ago, you felt guilty, and you received that over 2-year sentence. When your parole was revoked, you went back and you reverted to the life sentence again. So what we're here for today is to decide whether we want to give you a parole, which would move you to your next consecutive sentence, which would be the one that you just pled guilty to for the drug possession.
Can I talk about that one now?
Okay, well, that's where I was going with that. So tell us what happened that night when you got arrested for that.
I have the police reports from the arrest that I was arrested for talk about what you were talking about. But before I get to that, I wanted to say that, okay, when I was taking these classes, for my classes. And in one of the classes, we talked about incarceration. That's when I've been in for 28.5 years. And he said, well, because you've been in that environment for so long, you've got to realize you're not in that environment no more. You need to start communicating with people and learn how to communicate with people more. Regular people, not people incarcerated. And so I said, okay, so you have to realize I was incarcerated for almost 30 years and I hadn't talked to females in all that time. So I was just happy to talk to them, and I talked to females wherever, they smiled and talked to me, I talked to them. I was making friends with everybody, everything I met. But I tell them, I'm in Peru, I did life sentence. I did 2.5 years, but this not and I need to start associating with people and not think about the environment I came from. And at first it was real hard for me because I could it's been so long that I couldn't, but I just kept meeting, and this woman, I met her that day, and I was talking to her, and we became friends, and I didn't realize that this was going on, because in this police report, and later on I found out that they were sitting right there watching me, and they have a picture of me in my truck in front of her house. And I said, went to the affidavits of the police officer. He told me that an undercover officer moved up to the house too while I was there, and I didn't know that. And they didn't tell me that this woman was doing that. I had just met her. And when I left, they were following me, and she was in the truck, and she ran an extra dress and back in the truck. And they pulled me over, and they said, she said, you're drinking and drunk. I said, talking about. I didn't know what was going on, and until later on, when I got the police reports, and then he said, to him, I said, go ahead, I'm on parole. I told him I was on parole. I had a problem with that. And I was in the back seat with a young lady in the city. And then, but the point I want to bring up is on this police report that I have right here, it says, one of the questions the officers answered was, state where the defendant was under the influence of alcohol or drugs at the time of the offense. And the officer stated no, because I wasn't under the influence. I just didn't realize that this woman was doing this at her house, and that was the first time I just met her in the winter. And when I was in the condo, they said, well, you're the guardless, this is your vehicle, and this is your name, and you have insurance for it, and this is anyone that's driving it, and this is you, so it's in your possession. I said, no, okay, I'll accept that responsibility and for being a knucklehead and not just didn't happen to me. So I accept responsibility because that was my vehicle and insurance in my name. And she left me, but there was nobody in there except me driving it. And I just left her house. And had the officers that were sitting there looking at her house, and somebody had told me, don't go to her because she's selling drugs. I would have never went over there. But I was just thinking about those things. I was too busy and trying to communicate with people and talk to, especially females, because, like I said, I haven't been around them for almost 30 years, and it's just exciting and making friends with everyone I met, and that's what I was trying to do. Without realizing, I wasn't even thinking about any of that until now I realize you can't just do that because you don't know what people are doing nowadays out there. And I was really upset with myself, and I still learned for allowing myself to be put in this position, but I've learned that I can't just go to people's houses no more because I don't know what they're doing. I don't know their drinks and whatever, and I'm just really upset. I was more upset with myself for allowing this to happen to me. But I told her, look, I'm gonna take this money because it's my vehicle. I'm the only one here, even though I just left this house. It just happened that way, and I just get a little upset about myself when I did it. But the one other thing that I did want to point out is that I told you that I did have a job. but I injured myself, and I still need the surgery on my shoulder, and I was getting ready to do that. Around that same month when they arrested me, and I still didn't do that, because my left arm's pretty useless right now. But I wanted to ask the jury, the pro board to take into consideration my age. I have a lot of illnesses with the arthritis and the diabetes. I take insulin every day. The nurses here are pretty excellent. They bring me medication every morning, medication every night. They give me insulin. So I have to monitor that. I just barely got diabetes the year I was released. And I got the arthritis. And I guess all that comes with it and goes in years. And I got...
let's go back to your offense. So you were out for 2 years when that occurred. So, I don't know, but if it wasn't your stuff, if she left the window and you took responsibility, that's all well and good. And apparently the court and the prosecutors took that out into consideration because 2 years, that's not even the full presumptive for the offense. So, they were being lenient with you on that. But
another point I want to make. One more point I want to make is that I was going to the parole board. I mean, my parole officer every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks I go to him, and I know my parole doesn't end. My life parole doesn't end until 2099. And I've always kept it in mind that I'm never going to be released from the parole office until 2099. So I've always kept that in my mind when I was out there. And that every 2 weeks I go to the parole board. I took new age over there and I passed all of them. And they said, okay, you're free for another 2 weeks. And I said, okay, I'm going to go out there and do what I need to do and I'll come back in another 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, we don't have any indication that you were doing drugs or alcohol, and the issue wasn't whether you were using the drugs, the issue was that you were in possession of drugs, which is a pretty serious crime.
I know, I did have a response from my vehicle, and
so
it upsets me that, but it is what it is.
Right, so you weren't working because of your shoulder, you were in the process of trying to get that taken care of. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did have a job, but like I said, it was my liver and my body just, I wanted to work, and I did work doing, but my body just too old, and I started getting all these illnesses, like the diabetes, and now that's severe arthritis in my left shoulder. My whole arm's useless,
Okay. I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions at this time, sir. Mr. Johnson.
So I just have one question. I'm just trying to get kind of clear up when you talk about being stopped and the drugs are in your car. I didn't see any indication, unless I missed it in the report, that there was someone else in the car with you. And my understanding now, you're saying there was a female in the car with you but left. Is that what you're saying?
I couldn't hear that group.
So were you in the car by yourself when the police stopped you?
Yes, I had just left the Julian's house, and they followed me, and I didn't hear any of it, and then they pulled me over.
So the female was not in your car when the police officer stopped you, right?
Excuse me? I can't barely hear you.
The female was not in the car when the police officer stopped you, is that right?
No, nobody was here except me. I just left the house.
And where were you on the way to, sir?
Excuse me?
Where were you on the way to?
I was going back to my residence.
And so you're saying that you left the house, you're going back to the residence, and the female left the drugs in your car, and you had no knowledge they were there?
It was in the back seat where she was sitting in the passenger side. I didn't know it was there until the officer came in and searched my truck.
So when the officer said...
I had like a King Cat, the front, there was a front, and there was a back seat, and the King Cats, or whatever they call them.
So
King Cats.
So why were you so nervous when the officer stopped you, sir? They said that you wouldn't keep your hands on the steering wheel, you kept reaching around trying to, as if you were trying to get something. Why was that? That's why they had you get out.
I was really concerned about somebody was, the officer kept saying, she said you were drinking and you were murdered, or something like that. He just kept saying, she told us to stop you because you were drunk. You were driving drunk. And I was like, I kept thinking, who told you I was drinking? I was drinking, and I was kind of upset.
Thank you, sir. I was just saying that's good. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Canales. Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Bautista?
Yes.
Can you hear me clearly?
Excuse me?
Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, I can.
My question is, why do you think, I guess it was your girlfriend at the time, sir, right?
Excuse me?
You had a girlfriend when you were found in possession of the methamphetamine?
No. She wasn't my girlfriend. I had just met her.
I had been around
30 years, and every time someone would talk to me, I'd go talk to them, try to create a friendship with them and get to know them. But I always told them, I said, look, I'm a girl. I just did this much time, so I'm just trying to communicate, especially with women, because I haven't been around women in almost 30 years.
Well, sir, my question is, why do you think that she would leave about $250 worth of methamphetamine in your car?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if she was drunk or infused or what she was thinking. I don't know. I didn't know anything about that, like I said, until all this thing came out, and I realized, oh, that's what it was. Maybe she had forgot. I don't know. I'm just so upset with the whole situation that I had put myself in there by being in the hospital. I didn't know that. If the officers were right there, they told me, look, you want a drug house, you know that, right? And I would have never been over there. Nobody told me. I didn't know. I just met the girl. The female. I just met her, and I'm just trying to...
So you just met the girl, and she left $250 worth of methamphetamine in your car.
I don't understand that either. I don't know what was going through her head. I don't know if she was trying to abuse me or put it there and forgot to put it there, or I don't know what she was doing. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Bautista, what would be your plans? Where would you live if you get out?
Well, right now, I'm going to go to Happy House. Because I'm in that kind of environment, so I can start taking classes again. And I'm having a lot of health problems, you know. Like I said, I need surgery on my shoulder. And I'm from the Hilly River Indian Reservation. And so, once I turn 55, I'm considered an elder. And I can get in all the elderly programs for the elderly. Housing, they have housing. And I'll have a nurse on that will come see me every day. They'll feed me every day. They'll give me a room, and we'll have security in that whole area constantly so nobody bothers us. Plus, they have an excellent caring house right there in Sacktown, in the Florida Reservation. I want to go over there, and they'll let me stay there until I have the surgery on my shoulder and the rehab to make it. So I'm going to go stay over there. The caring house is going to let me stay there because last month, since I'm a diabetic here, they've been taking my blood constantly to monitor my sugar count. And last month when they took my blood, the doctor called me in and said, we took your blood. And there seems to be an issue with your liver. Your liver enzymes are abnormally high, and I think you can have some other issues with that. And that goes back to when I was vegan out there, and they told me that I had destroyed part of my liver. And since I'm having these diabetes issues and the arthritis, and now this is all part of it, I realized that I don't have that much longer, but I figure maybe 2 years at the most, so I want to do a caring house, during the liberation, and have them take care of me these remaining years of my life, and then, maybe visit, have my grandkids, that, the family and all the grandkids are my grandkids, even though...
Mr. Baptista, you don't have to worry about income then? You have an income, a way to live?
See, the tribes can take care of me because I can get into the elderly program now ever since I turned 55.
Okay.
They have the elderly program, the elderly housing, and they feed us every day, they give us housing, but I want to go stay at the caring homes because I have a lot of these health issues.
Thank you, sir.
I need the surgery on the shoulder because my left arm is pretty useless.
Thank you, Mr.
And the diabetes, my feet swell a lot and they're numb. I can barely walk. Other times I feel like I'm going to fall over.
Sir?
I need to go over there and have them take care.
Okay. All right, let me move on with this. First of all, you realize that this hearing is strictly for parole to life in second sentence. It's not for any kind of a release.
No, I know I'm going to be on a life parole till 2099.
Sir, okay. Yeah. This hearing is just concerning whether we would parole you to your next consecutive sentence, which means that you would start a 2-year sentence for possession of dangerous drugs, and that you would not be released. This hearing now, you're only certified for parole to your next consecutive sentence,
mm-hmm.
which means that you would have, even if we paroled you, your next consecutive sentence today, you'd have as much as 2 more years before you'd be released from prison.
Well, sir.
It's not a matter of what you need, it's a matter of what you're eligible for and what the Department of Corrections
is. No, I'm just concerned because the deal sends me on February of last year.
Okay.
That doesn't matter what the judge, did.
The judge sentenced you to a 2-year consecutive sentence, the consecutive being to the life, 25 to life sentence that you were already serving. And
no, I'm just concerned about that.
The judge was revoked, so you are currently serving the life sentence, and if you parole to the next consecutive sentence, it would be to the 2-year sentence for the drug charges. So,
I thought under the guidelines, I was supposed to do the 2 years first, then go back onto life parole.
No, not according to the paperwork we have. It's consecutive to life sentence, which means that whenever you would be paroled from the life sentence, if you were so paroled, you would have to serve the 2-year sentence for the drug. Okay, so...
So I got to come back to the board again after 2 years?
Pardon me?
I have to come back to you guys again after 2 years if I'm still alive?
Yes.
Well, actually, no, if you went to your next consecutive sentence, then you would, my understanding would be at that point in time you would be done. But we need to move on.
I don't understand because my parole don't end until 2099, so I'd rather do 2 years, then I've got to come back and see you again, right?
So my understanding of parole for next collecting sentences is that you would move to your next sentence, which means you would have 2 years to serve on that sentence, and then at that time you will be done. Okay? So that's what we're looking at. We're not looking at releasing you, putting you out on the street or any kind of parole or release or anything else right now, just to next second sentence. That's all we're looking at in the first place. Okay? So we need to be I don't see any more questions from the board. Is there anybody here that would like to speak on behalf of Mr. Baptista? Anyone here from Mr. Baptista? No one seems to be here from Mr. Baptista or any no victims.
Well, I did send you guys a letter with the names of the people because they're older than me. My brother, my sister, they're older than me. Well, and they're not able to attend, so I sent a letter to you guys with their names and their phone numbers.
Okay, sir.
For a phone conference.
So
you didn't get that?
Apparently not. I didn't see anything about anybody to make phone calls to. So we're going to move forward with the hearing now. So at this point in time, I'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement, but it We're asking for additional information, not a written repeat of all the information you've already given us. So if there's anything else you'd like to say at this time, now is the opportunity, and once you're done, we're going to discuss, we're going to have a discussion to make a determination. Okay, so is there any information, sir?
I was just kind of confused about all this sentence, re-sentence, time, because this is my understanding, that's all I'm trying to share with you, is that when I got sentenced last year in February, judge gave me 5 months back time, plus, and then he said, this is how much time I had to do. So I figured that when the judge sent me on that day, that's when my time started for the Pinal County.
Sure.
But now you're saying...
I'm saying you're repeating yourself now, okay? Is there any new information you'd like to give us?
No, I'm just curious. Okay. I'm just trying to figure out what you're saying. But if you send me the paper, I can check into it.
Okay. So there's no new information you'd like to give us at this time, sir?
I mean, case reports and my sentence and the other things from the last...
Okay, is there anything new? Anything you haven't already covered, sir?
Well, I answered those are the questions you asked, and I elaborated on some of the comments you made.
Okay, so apparently you have no new information or additional information used at this time. So the board can go into discussion to make a determination, sir. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we're not. And we ask that you stay on the phone, but remain silent while we're in discussion, and once we've made a decision, I'll be back to you, sir. Okay, the board is now in discussion. Well, this is interesting, but the drug charges at the point in time when they were in it's been just about a year since I got guilty to the drug charges, and the revocation wasn't since last October. At this time, based on all the information I have, I don't see Mr. Bautista as being candidate for parole to match his second sentence at this point in time. But I'm going to listen to any discussion from my fellow board members, if there is any. Ms. Whitman?
I agree with you, Mr. Neal, and I do believe Mr. Bautista is correct that when he completes the two-year sentence, the consecutive, he goes back to a life sentence. And then he then comes before the board and we could parole him.
Okay,
That's the ruling sentence. He would have to go back to the life. So he is correct.
Okay. That's correct. So either way,
but I agree.
So either way, there's no, we can be in use today anyway. Any other comments? I'm going to deny Mr. Bautista, AEC number 60090, a parole to match consecutive sentence, or his absolute discharge, or home arrest at this time.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Agree. And because of the date and time, I'm gonna go for a 1 year set on.
Agree.
Yes, agree with that.
Okay. And so decision, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what this means is there's no parole to make consecutive sentence at this time. Apparently from what Ms. Rittenhouse said, You are correct that if you went to your two-year sentence, that once it's done, you still have to go back to the license. But at this time, there's no move to the next consecutive sentence, and we've gone for a one-year shut-off, so now, a year from now, you'll be certified by the Department of Corrections again, and you'll come before the board, and we'll see how things stand at that time. So that will end the hearing, sir. And did you please put the seal three back on the phone?
Oh, Anderson.